We're going to be, well, we're going to see if there's any more discussion from last week, and when we're done with that, we're going to pick up right there on C. You have different page numbers than I do, because I break them out, send them out in sections. All right, well, let's go ahead and kind of pick up where we left off. First thing I wanted to do was we kind of had to just close down and move out of class last week and wanted to know if there was any discussion yet on anything there that we needed to pick up and carry on with. If not, we'll move into the next part of the outline. So, questions, discussion, observations. Come on, Tim, you're always good for something. Okay, well, we'll move on then. So kind of where we're at in our overall discussion of the spiritual gifts is we kind of go back and recap so we can make sure we pick this up in this, is that we define a spiritual gift as any ability given by the Holy Spirit for bringing God's grace to others in the church or in the world through service and speaking the truth in love. So the focal point of the gifts of the Spirit is God, through His Spirit, using His people to essentially serve His kingdom. Okay. That we saw that some of those gifts were in the form of gifts given to the church at large, Ephesians 4:11, some as apostles, some as prophets, some as evangelists, some as pastor teachers. And then we looked at the passage in 1 Peter that, first of all, affirmed that all of God's people are so gifted, and second of all, took those gifts and broke them really down into two categories. Speaking gifts and serving gifts, which can, it's useful, I guess, for helping us to understand them and how they're to be used. Next, we looked at the doctrinal foundation of cessationism that says the sign gifts, the confirmatory gifts have ceased. And we looked throughout really all of Scripture, but we looked extensively at about 7 or 8 New Testament texts that tie signs, wonders, and miracles to epics of new redemptive revelation, and that they are confirmatory. They confirm the messenger and the message that they are from God. They are temporary and that they serve that period in redemptive history. And when we move beyond that period of redemptive history, they don't continue. So now what we want to do is we want to pick up 3 passages. Let's see, I think it's 3. Yes, we have 3 passages left where we have these gifts listed out. Okay? And we're going to go to the first one in 1 Corinthians 12. So if you turn over to 1 Corinthians 12. Okay? 1 Corinthians 12, verses 8 through 10. We read, "For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, and to another the word of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, and to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, and to another the effecting of miracles, and to another prophecy, and to another the distinguishing of spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, and to another the interpretation of tongues." Now, A.W. Pink had this to say about this passage. He says, "We are supplied with a list of those extraordinary gifts of the Spirit which then obtained. We use the word extraordinary in contrast from His ordinary gifts or those which obtain in all ages and generations." In other words, what Pink is saying is that this entire list here are sign gifts that were confirmatory in nature, and thus had ceased at the end of the apostolic age and come to a close. Now, other commentators would say that there are those upon this list that are not those signs, wonders, and miracles, or those confirmatory signs. I would take that view. I think if we look closely at it, word of wisdom, word of knowledge, faith, and the discerning of spirits are gifts of the Holy Spirit that continue to this day. So let's just go through and take a look at those. We start with word of wisdom. Okay? I think I handle these in the order that they're presented in the text. Yes, word of wisdom. Here's Ruther's comment about that. He said, the spiritual gift of the word of wisdom is the blessing of the Holy Spirit on our speech in particular situations. Speak the word of God and apply it to particular situations with people you're dealing with at any given time. It goes contrary to all of scripture revelation on wisdom, that the word of wisdom is some direct revelation of the Spirit to the mind of an individual apart from revealed scripture, or some charismatic gift, as it's often called, where people get direct insight from God in a supernatural way applied to a situation at hand. Okay, so there's an important contrast being made here. Okay, that what this word of wisdom is not is God speaking directly to you apart from scripture, telling you something that he has not revealed through his word. That is not what is in view here. And our textual support for that would be really the testimony of all of scripture, that when it speaks of wisdom, think of the Proverbs here, it ties wisdom to understanding in the fear of the Lord. Okay? Wisdom comes from understanding, and understanding comes from the fear of the Lord. Deuteronomy 4:6 says that the law of God is our wisdom and understanding. It is the word of God from which we get wisdom and understanding. Matthew 12:42 says that Christ is our greater than Solomon. And when we consider what the scriptures say, then in these last days, Hebrews 1, God has spoken to us through his Son, okay? And it is the word of the Son that ultimately the wisdom of God is the gospel. Okay? That mystery that has now been revealed. So it is in the Word of God, in the fullness of its revelation, in the Scriptures, that we have wisdom and that we have understanding. 1 Corinthians 2:6 and 7 says, yet we do speak wisdom among those who are mature. But wisdom, however, not of this age, nor of the rulers of this age who are passing away, but we speak God's wisdom in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God predestined before the ages to our glory. And when the New Testament talks about mystery, what's it talking about? Talking about the gospel, that which was once concealed has now been fully revealed in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? So what we are not talking about here is some kind of direct revelation of information that God is giving only to the individual. What we are talking about here is God's Spirit working through his Word, okay, bringing wisdom and giving us the ability to apply that Word appropriate to the circumstances. Does that make sense? You see that distinction? Okay, because what we're really getting into now is this issue here, correct terminology and correct paradigms in which to understand the word of the Spirit, or the work of the Spirit. Okay. So what we're talking about and what's going to be central to all of this is the Spirit working in the moment in the heart of the individual through the Word of God. Okay. Now, do you see why knowing your Bible becomes so important? If you want to be a useful tool in the hands of God, then you need to know his word, because it's through his word that he's going to do this work. Okay. All right, so There's essentially the basic foundation of the word of wisdom, what's in view here. Questions, discussion, observations, application. And I would say what you're going to have at play there are the spiritual gifts of this word of wisdom, and the next one, the word of knowledge, and how you apply that to be effectively used by God's Spirit in the service of His church and in being a blessing to others. Okay, if we keep in mind, okay, again, when we come to the spiritual gifts, we can't lose that foundation that we've covered over the last several months of that when it comes to the exercise of the spiritual gifts, this is all premised upon, first of all, being converted, okay, having the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, okay, being sealed by the Spirit, and to be walking in the Spirit, manifesting the fruit of the Spirit. Okay, which is what? What's the fruit of the Spirit? Galatians 5. Yeah. Gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. Okay. Essentially what we would describe as a holy life, right? Okay. Faithfully walking after Christ and manifesting that fruit of the Spirit in our lives, that when all of those things are in place, it positions us in a way that we are not quenching the Spirit or grieving the Spirit. Because if we're not walking in love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control, what are we doing? We're quenching and grieving the Spirit, which means the Spirit is not going to be real active in using us, right? Okay. But if those things are in place, the Spirit is now working in us, through these gifts, to be a blessing to others. So if we use Doug's example of discipling others, okay, we have this situation now where if we are walking in the Spirit, we are exhibiting the fruit of the Spirit. It is that fruit of the Spirit that is the context of our relationships with others. And we establish those relationships through that. God's Spirit then worked through us in, for instance, discipling someone. Whereas we seek to engage them through the Word of God, that help to teach and instruct them in the Word of God, help them to grow in the Word of God. The Spirit gives wisdom Spirit also gives knowledge, which is the next one. Knowledge, which is an outworking of the illuminating work of the Spirit to give understanding, but then also wisdom in how to apply. Do you see how all this is coming together here? Okay? Mm-hmm. Some have, some haven't. Pink's point was, Pink said that all of those are confirmatory gifts and they've all ceased. Okay? Other commentators would say, no, that's not the case. Some have, some haven't. And see, as you look through all three of these passages left, you have a mixture there of those which are confirmatory gifts, okay, which were in play at the time they were written, but some of which ceased at the end of the apostolic age. Word of wisdom continues. Word of knowledge continues. Faith by the same Spirit continues. Gifts of healing have ceased. Effecting of miracles has ceased. Prophecy has ceased. Distinguishing of spirits continues. Various kinds of tongues have ceased. Interpretation of tongues, I'm going to postulate to you, continues. Okay? All right. Yes. Exactly. Again, another reason why that precision of language, having the right paradigm, is important. And in fact, if you go back to that thing last week, one of the things we talked about, if you notice here, even the way in this text, for example, miracles, the effecting of miracles, even the way it states it makes it plain that that was something that the person who possessed that gift knew what was going on, was volitionally involved in it as a matter of obedience and using that gift in the service of others. Okay? It wasn't, they're having this out-of-body experience where the Spirit's having them do things and they're like some kind of a pervert. It's not that. Kim? God still works. Yeah. Although I realized later I might have been presumptuous to make that statement, because the question that postulated in my mind, which I don't have the answer to, is, do we have evidence in Scripture today that God continues to work miracles not attached to his confirmatory and sign works? I think the answer is yes. I've just never taken the time to study it out. But go on. I think that's a good way to put it. Particularly gifted in that area, but I think we also need to keep in mind the opening, to keep it open, that, again, it's not this list inventory mentality. Okay? I think the Scripture clearly indicates that not all people possess all these gifts in the same way, because it talks about each being gifted differently. Okay? That's what makes the body what it is. Okay? But that doesn't mean I have this one, but I never have this one. It means I might be particularly predisposed to this one based on how God's gifted me, because it's a gift, and that will come out when I am walking in the Spirit, and I will quench that in me when I'm not walking in the Spirit. And we all do both of those, okay? But that person who may not be particularly gifted in that area, when they are walking in the Spirit, can be empowered by God and exercise that gift. I mean, I think a manifestation of this one would be, have you ever had, you've been either witnessing to someone or trying to explain a text of Scripture to someone or trying to help someone apply the Scripture, and in that moment, you had a degree of clarity and lucidness on that particular truth that you've never had before, and you were just able to just lay it out for them. I think that's a spiritual gift. I think that's a Spirit working, giving wisdom. Right. And like I said before, the relationship between natural ability and gifts of the Spirit isn't clearly defined for us in Scripture. The problem with taking an inventory list mentality is what we end up identifying aren't the gifts of the Spirit. What we end up identifying are our native talents and abilities. Okay? So, those two could be one and the same, but not necessarily, I guess is the way I would put it. Okay? Yeah, I think that's a fair way to describe it. Yeah. Okay. Shetty? Yes, that's a good observation right there. You know, they marveled at the apostles' preaching and said, these are unlearned fishermen. How did they get the ability to do this? Well, it was the Spirit of God, you know, gift of prophecy in that case. And when we get to prophecy, we'll talk about it. Keep in mind, prophecy involves not only the giving of new revelation, it also involves a gifting of proclaiming the truth of God that's already been revealed. Okay, that both those work in tandem. Andres? That's right. Right. And for purposes of clarity, I don't call that prophecy. I call it preaching. Okay? And because that's essentially what it is, and I think there's good grounds for that in Scripture, because when we see Paul giving instruction to Timothy and Titus in his, if you will, you know, in the pastoral epistles on how to order the church, he uses the term preaching. He says, preach the word. Okay. And so, but I would say that preaching is the equivalent of that part of the life of the New Testament prophet and the Old Testament prophet, in which they took the already revealed word of God, the Scriptures. For the Old Testament prophets, it would have been the law. Okay. For the New Testament prophets, it would have been the whole of the Old Testament, okay? And they were simply proclaiming that and applying it. That was part of that ministry. Today we call that preaching, and we have the whole counsel of God's Word as our subject matter for that, okay? I think it's all tied to the same root word. Yeah. Okay, so for clarity's purposes, as we talk about what's happening today, post-apostolic, I use the word preaching to describe that, okay? But understand that that preaching aspect of expositing the Word of God from the Scriptures is also part of what the ministry of the prophets were, both Old Testament and New Testament. Okay? All right? Stephen? And what was Paul's instruction to Timothy? Study to show yourself approved as a workman who does not need to be ashamed. Take this word and entrust it to faithful men. Okay, so, I think the upshot of this as we go through these, what you're going to see is the degree of your usefulness is directly connected to how well grounded in the Word of God you are. So the application is this. Do you want to be more useful to Jesus Christ as your Lord, His church, His bride? If you do, know the Word. Study the Word. Meditate upon the Word. Memorize the Word. The more grounded you are in the Word, the more useful you're going to be to Him. Let me very quickly address knowledge, because it kind of goes hand in hand with wisdom. And then I'll try to give a short answer to that. Okay, knowledge. Again, Ruther comments, he says, Paul is speaking about the knowledge of the revelation of the mystery of Christ, which came through the preaching of the gospel, the leadership of the apostles, and the teaching ministry of the Spirit, which Jesus promised in the upper room. It is the application of Scripture. It is not a supernatural ability to obtain direct access to the right piece of knowledge needed at a particular time or to meet an emergency or special need with a direct word from God to man apart from the Scripture. Again, there's the distinguishing part. Okay, word of knowledge, spiritual gift, is essentially a function of the illuminating work of the Spirit. Remember when we talked about the 8 activities of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer? The illuminating work of the Spirit was the first one we looked at, where He gives understanding of the truth of the Scriptures. The second one was the leading of the Spirit, where He writes the Word of God upon our hearts, which is the promise of the New Covenant, right? Okay, that now the Word will be written upon our hearts. Okay, so when we talk about this word of knowledge, it is about how the Holy Spirit is taking the Word, writing it upon our hearts, and giving us an understanding. Okay, so that we rightly understand it. Okay, when the disciples asked Jesus, why are you teaching in parables? People don't understand the parables. Why are you doing that? And in response to that, He told them, to you, it has been granted to know. That's the illuminating work of the Spirit. The people of God have been granted to know the truth of God's Word, and it is the work of the Holy Spirit in our hearts to through this process of illumination, not revelation, illumination. Revelation is God speaking new truth directly to man. Illumination is God taking His revealed and inscripturated Word and giving us an understanding of it, an understanding of truth. Okay, the Spirit works today in God's people, illuminating it, and it's through this that comes this knowledge. Okay, now, Doug's question of, okay, how do we know, okay, how can we know? Okay, that it's God's Spirit that's moving. Okay? I think the central premise here is conviction. Okay? I think we have to think of it in terms of conviction. Okay? How would you describe conviction? You say, well, I was convicted. What are you talking about when you say that? Right there. Okay. I know this based on the clear teaching of God's Word here. Okay. So the Spirit comes, applies God's Word, gives knowledge, gives wisdom, brings conviction on the heart that compels to act. Okay. Patrick? It, okay, let me now, okay, that definition was to differentiate the false from the true. Let me try to state the true. Okay. It is a supernatural work of the Holy Spirit working through the Word of God, illuminating the truth of that Word to us and giving us wisdom in how to apply it. Okay. In the sense that what the Spirit is operating from is the Word of God that you possess. Okay, not that you never knew that, you never read that, you never heard that, and He's supernaturally directly telling you that. Not that. Okay. But that is, like I said, all the use of these gifts are premised upon how well grounded we are in the Word. Okay. It's going to be that Bible verse you memorized when you were six, that as you're dealing with a situation, bam, that truth comes to mind, and you know exactly how to articulate it and apply it to the situation. Okay, that's the Spirit of God supernaturally working through His Word that's already been implanted in your heart, giving you knowledge and understanding of that Word and wisdom and how to apply it. What's the correct terminology? Okay. And that's exactly where you're coming from. Here's the way we see it played out a lot. Okay. I don't know, the example you gave in the prayer meeting might be an example of this. You didn't articulate enough for me to see, but we'll see. Somebody says, the Lord spoke to me and told me to go share the gospel with that person. Okay, well, God didn't talk to him. Okay, Scripture's clear on that. But what did happen was, based on their knowledge of Scripture, based on their knowledge of the Great Commission that says, go therefore into all the world and proclaim the gospel, make disciples, okay? Based on the Scripture that would tell them about the needy condition of the sinner, based on the Scriptures that tell them who these sinners are and what these sinners look like in the world out there, the Holy Spirit does bring conviction of that person's need to hear the gospel. You're here right now. Go proclaim the gospel. You see the difference? Supernatural work of the Spirit, applying the Word already revealed, giving understanding, wisdom in how to apply, as opposed to God spoke to me and gave me special knowledge that no one else around me had, that this person was ready to hear the gospel and I needed to go speak to them. So two very different things. Okay. And what do you mean by awareness? Okay. All right. Yes, let's stop right there. You use the term awareness. Wrong term. Replace that with no specific knowledge of that person's condition. The point is, you do have an awareness. Okay, I mean, you already have an awareness. You looked at them and said, that person's a prostitute. Something about their dress, their demeanor, their activity, something told you, you had an awareness of their lostness. You don't know anything about them. You don't know their name. You don't know what's going on in their life. You don't have the details. But you do have an awareness of their lostness based on your knowledge of the Word of God and how it describes that lostness and your perception of that situation. And what the Holy Spirit is doing is bringing that awareness to the top, so to speak, and bringing conviction for you to obey the Great Commission. Absolutely. I like the term conviction, and here's why. Because our test on whether this is true or not is if whether or not what we're being convicted to do is consistent with the Word of God. Okay? So we've got to test the spirits. 1 John. And we talk about having a discerning spirit. That comes into play here. Okay? And being able to understand all this in the light of what the whole of Scripture teaches. Okay? So I would say you do have an awareness, and that awareness is based, again, upon how well-grounded you are in the Word. Yeah. Now, I don't know how strong Doug and Lisa's conviction were to go talk to those people, but the point is, you know, they went by this location, saw them there over a period of time, and go, okay, these people need some help. Let's just go see if we can give some help. Okay? What spiritual gift is that? The gift of helps. An awareness of somebody who possibly had a need they weren't able to meet on their own, and I might have the ability to do that. That's a spiritual gift. Okay? And so, yes, we have to see this as, and the problem, again, the problem is we couch our understanding of the spiritual gifts in the charismatic cessationism debate, which, like I've said, too many times we allow the charismatics with their false teaching to frame. Because what they're talking about is not in Scripture. The ecstatic speech and all that kind of stuff. And so we're having this polemical discussion rather than a doctrinal discussion of let's just go to the Word of God and see what it says and understand that and how do we apply it. Okay? Well, that's why it's important as we try to understand what these gifts are. We go to the Word and say, what does the Word tell us about it? Yeah. Okay. You know, so I think conviction's the best way to do that. Our defense against being deceived, and I'll just say this here, we'll talk about it more later. The Scriptures are full of warnings. Do not be deceived. Do a word search on deceived. See how many different times and in how many different contexts the New Testament writers are urging us, do not be deceived. Okay? So this notion of having a right paradigm, it's not God speaking to me, it's the Holy Spirit convicting through the already revealed word. Having that paradigm is important and understanding that paradigm. But then understand that the Holy Spirit is supernaturally working. He's working through that conviction, okay? And that our test of legitimacy is to compare what we're being convicted of or what we feel we're being moved to do with the Word of God, and is it consistent with the Word of God? Okay? Test the spirits, in other words. All right? All right, let's wrap it up right there for today. Patrick, would you close in prayer?